Señoras y señores, yes. Bienvenidos.
Welcome.
Al party. Bien. Agarren a su pareja
con la cintura
y prepárense.
Sí.
Porque lo que viene
no
está fácil.
No está fácil, ¿no? Ya.
Bienvenidos a Radio Menea, y'all. My name is Verolletti Flores.
And I'm Miriam Suela Perez, and we are two Latinx friends with wildly different music tastes.
Each week we bring you music from the Latinx artists we love, and this week we're doing a La Que Manda special. Perez
hey,
brought
hey.
This one, the classic.
The classic, the iconic, the La Que Manda anthem, Quiero Bailar. Let's take another listen.
Problema en acercarme y bailarte este reggaetón, que los dos tengamos que sudar,
tengo que sudar,
que bailemos al ritmo del
demos el tra,
que me haga fuerte suspirar,
suspirar,
pero pa' la cama digo mira na na na, porque yo soy la que mando, soy la que decide cuando vamos al mambo y tú lo sabes, el ritmo me está llevando, mientras más te pega más te voy azotando y eso está bien, a mí no me importa lo que muchos digan, si muevo mi cintura de abajo para arriba, si soy de barrio o tal vez soy una chica fina. Si en la discoteca te me pegas y te animas, sabe que los dos tengamos que sudar,
a sudar,
que bailemos al ritmo del tra,
tra,
que me haga fuerte suspirar,
suspirar,
pero pa' la cama digo mira na na na. Si yo quiero bailar, tú quieres sudar y pegarte a mí, el cuerpo rosar. Yo te digo si sí, tú me puedes provocar, eso no quiere decir que pa' la cama voy. Quiero bailar, tú quieres sudar y pegarte a mí, el cuerpo rosar.
So of course this is Evie Queen, La Caballota. She is a boss bitch if there ever was one. This was an idea that I had. I mean, we've done many episodes on this theme because why not talk about badass women in lots of forms over the years? But also it is Women's History Month, so why not talk about Las Mujeres Que Mandan. So we probably brought this song at least twice, if not more times, but it just feels like an iconic La Que Manda anthem. And for me, La Que Manda is like an energy. It's like a vibe. It's a I don't give a fuck what you think of me, especially men. And she has that in spades. And no surprise, because she came up in a reggaeton world worth almost no other women. She was always with the dudes, and it sounds like it was kind of a intense scene in the early aughts in Puerto Rico. So of course, to get to be successful in that arena, you have to be kind of a boss.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like one thing that I remember early when we started this podcast in like 2016 or something, I feel like what Evie Queen was like, obviously she was huge, right? She was like huge at the time when this song came out, but like I feel like she didn't get enough flowers, in my opinion,
yeah,
for her contributions. And I feel like in the years since, that has been rectified, and I'm really glad to see it.
Which is awesome, and we love a dance floor consent anthem, and this is it for sure.
That's right. And by, just to be very clear, by La Que Manda, we are not endorsing any like weird capitalist boss lady feminism, FYI.
No, no, this isn't like Lean In or whatever.
Oh my God. What? That was a dark era.
I know, I know. And she, I mean, yeah, her whole story has been really sad since then too. She lost her husband, whatever. Yeah, no, no, that's not what I mean. It didn't even like occur to me. That's funny. For me,
I know.
Think more like in the bedroom than I do in the boardroom. Like, just like top vibes, you know? I don't know. Just like, yeah, just badass mujeres. I mean, these women are successful in business as successful musicians, and I do think there's something about what it takes to do that in a male-dominated world. But yeah, we're not talking about the corporate feminism thing. No.
At all. But
no.
Yes.
Not her back.
Speaking of, you know, mandar in the bedroom a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like my next song has a touch of that. This is from an artist that if you've been listening to us for a while, you will know her. This is called Femenine by Empress Of.
Quiero un nombre femenino.
solo pa' mí. Me cocine, me desfile, me lleve al cine. Lo quiero pa' mí y solo pa' mí. No te necesito a ti, ni tú a mí. Tú y yo somos iguales. Para de pedigree, give me a treat. Gracias, perder los modelos modales. Free,
wanna bomb,
me,
wanna bomb.
Estoy loca en este party.
Wanna bomb.
Dream, scream,
wanna bomb.
Sabes que yo soy tu daddy. Quiero un nombre femenino, un latine que baila pa' mí y solo pa' mí. Me cocine, me desfile, me lleve al cine. Lo quiero pa' mí y solo pa' mí. Na 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 na. Yo encima pongo mi mano en tu cuello. Dices que eres un freak. Muéstrame si hoy quiero ser tu vaquero, tu vaquero.
Free,
me, estoy loca en este party. Dream, scream, sabes que yo soy tu daddy. Quiero un nombre femenine, un latine que baila pa' mí.
So this one is super fun. I feel like this is like, the sound is like, I love it. It's like some like soulful house sonically, but this is a single off of her upcoming record For Your Consideration that's coming out later this month. But this track came out a few weeks ago. She's been dropping singles off of it for a little bit now, and I just love this track for, first of all, like having like there being like a feminine woman like desiring a feminine man. I think that's so cute, and I feel like there's not enough like of that out in the world and culture. But also she's like very much like she's like, sabes que yo soy tu daddy, you know. She's like, I want you to cook for me, I want you to model for me, I want you to take me to the movies, and I want to be on top. So, so metas allá.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
It's like fem top energy
for this
amazing
episode. Meadow, this is so perfect. she also, like, okay, number one, I feel like this song should be a drag song, like, immediately. Like,
immediately.
Drag queens who listen to this show, please, please. It's like got the perfect sound and the perfect words. And yeah, the sort of femme for femme, but like the gender fuckery femme for femme. I mean, femme for femme, I guess you could say, is always gender fuckery.
So much.
But this is like another level if you consider, yeah, like the pairing she's talking about. It's just, it's hot. It's hot. Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And, you know, it's so fun to see the growth of an artist over time. When I was putting together this episode, I was like, God, I've been following Loreley Rodriguez. Empress Of is a project of Loreley Rodriguez, like, for over a decade. And I remember that she came to my attention with her Systems EP in, like, 2013, which in some ways is so, so different from this. And in other ways, like, knowing the rest of her work, I feel like I can see the through line. And I just love to see how artists, like, choose to grow their directions. And, like, even though, like, her project in 2013 was, like, really different from, like, this project now in some ways, I feel like they're still, like, very solidly within my wheelhouse and what I like to hear. So it's been just, like, really dope to, like, watch her from afar. But, yeah, we've featured her before. So if you've been listening to us, you'll know her. But if you don't yet, I would encourage you to go on a deep dive, like, back 10 or 12 years. She is Hondureña, or Honduran-American, really, from L.A. And I think she was in Brooklyn for a long time, but I feel like she's back in L.A. now.
Yeah, I remember you bringing her early on to the show, but I think it's been a minute since we've talked about her. So
yeah,
this
I think
is very exciting.
I've brought, like, you know, she's had like a few things in over the last few years, and I may have brought her then. It's hard to, I feel like I know my memory of what I've brought to this show, like, now that it's been like 8 years, is like, I don't, I feel like I can't be held responsible.
It's
fair. It's fair. What I've done in the past.
Yeah, it's fair. Also, I love the use of the E, the like gender neutral E. And
I know.
And she does a good job like using it as like a rhyming convention too. You know, feminine, cine. Like she just does a cosine. It just does a really good job with it. And I know there's a lot of like annoying sort of backlash to the E in the like the Spanish language world. And I feel like it's just happening. You know, it's like people can have all the like, you know, whining about grammar that they want, but it's happening because language evolves and people evolve language. So it's like in some ways they, you know, no matter what. I mean, I think it's actually is being accepted by some mainstream like Spanish language, like outlets and stuff, surprisingly. But, you know, it's like it's just happening. It's just being pushed. And that's like really beautiful to see, I think.
It is really beautiful to see. And yeah, I mean, it's like the purpose of language is to be understood. I feel like language purists like are so like beyond the pale with like how I don't know how they react around this. And it's like your reaction is so strong and there's no way that homophobia is not a part of that, you weirdo.
And like, yeah, they're never purist about everything, right? It's only certain things. It's like Spanglish or it's like this or something that they, you know, it comes from some weird like, conservatism about changes and whatever. But and I've had conversations with my mom about this because she's a very smart woman who speaks many languages. And, you know, she struggled with like they, them and stuff when it first came up. And I was like, Mom, you speak like six languages. Like you can learn this too. You know, like nobody is above being able to learn to make this change, you know, whether it's they, them or, you know, the E ending. And I did like a year of translation last year for an organization, a nonprofit. And so I got to really, it was like written translation. So I got to really practice with the E, like practice it and when you do it, when you don't. And, you know, it's just like anything else, you know. And actually, it's a pretty good, it works pretty easily. Whereas, like, I know in French, people are really struggling because there isn't like an easy way to work with like the gendered endings.
Interesting.
Because of how French.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody recently about it who's a French speaker. Yeah. There's not an easy answer for the way that French conjugates. And I'm sure other languages, you know, some are easier than others, but, in Spanish, the E works like amazingly, you know? So.
Yeah. That's why I was an early E adopter because I'm like, because it used to be X and before that it was an at symbol. We've been at this for a minute.
We have been. And neither of those worked very well. Yeah.
I feel like the E, as soon as I started seeing people use it, I'm like, oh, this is obviously it. Like, I don't, like, I'm on this train. Like, if you don't understand me, I'll explain it to you. Like, I don't care. Like, this is clearly the one.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just in terms of like actually being able to use it, like it's the
especially
only
spoken.
One that's like felt like, exactly, more possible.
Yeah, the X and is really difficult to speak. And the at, how do you even say that?
Yeah, exactly. In spoken language, I think is like what you're saying is correct, right? Like it's the easiest to use in spoken language. And I feel like until something is like easily adopted into spoken language, it's not really. You can't really adopt it.
It can be written only. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, it's easier in written too when you think of conjugation. But especially for speaking. I think I was a little bit like holding on to Latinx. And Latinx doesn't have to go away just because we're using the E, you know? Like I don't have to conjugate with the X. You can still use the X in certain moments, you know, when you want to. But I think you're right. The E is really, that's where it's at. So. I'm into it.
I also, the one thing that I love about what she does with the gender stuff in this song is that she says like un hombre, but then she doesn't say femenino. She says femenine. So it's like she's like playing with gender even there, like with like, you know, like I want like some like un hombre, but like also like something non-binary with a non-binary quality, like, but also she's Tudali, you know, like it's just like so much gender play and it's done really well.
Yeah, it's just gender fuckery on all these different levels. Yeah, I love that.
Love it so much.
I don't know anything
much
about her personal life, but I think it would be great if this mirrored something going on in her personal life.
Yeah, I mean, one can only hope. I wish this for everybody.
And I feel like, I don't know what you think about this, but I think the rise of like non-binary identity and just sort of like more visibility around that has created more space for like male, like for, in the like queer, in the sort of, I know some people say assigned male at birth like has problems with it. I haven't looked deeply into the questions around that terminology, but for lack of a better way to say it, like, this sort of like middle space of like gender fuckery. Like, you're not a trans woman, you're not a cis man, like you're somewhere in the middle. And I feel like there's been more space opened up for that, like this idea of like un hombre femenino, like in the in more recent years, as there's been more complication of gender and sort of move away from binaries and just room for people to be, yeah, like gender queer, even, you know, regardless of their initial identity gender wise.
Yeah, I really love it. I love, like, the more confusing it is, I think the better. I think it's like maybe like Judith Butler who like wrote an early like text about like how there was a critique about how like feminists wanted gender to disappear.
Right.
And she was like, no, well, we want gender to like explode. I want there to be like a million genders. I want gender to be everywhere. I want everything to be gender. You know,
right,
it's like,
right,
actually,
right,
it's not going to go away.
Right.
It's just going to be a bazillion kinds of gender.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like, gender is an amazing thing
to
play
fun.
With.
It's such a show. It's so camp. It's so good.
Yeah. And like, you know, we could argue there's no way to have no gender because... even that is a gender, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Right. Exactly.
Like existential questions about it. But yeah, like agender, you know, there are identities that I think people would describe as like genderless, but yeah, it's like, this is an main operation of how we interact with each other in the world.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. Gender full.
Exactly. So I thought that this was a fun one for this theme for that reason.
That was great. Yeah, this was like on point. I'm really glad. I did not know about about this song, and I'm very happy to know about it. So we want to take a minute to talk about the fact that it's our birthday month. We are celebrating 8 years.
Oh my God, we're 8 years old. Can you even believe it?
Nope. We're in fourth grade. Third grade? I don't know.
Oh my God.
Depends. Yes, we've been around, y'all. We've been around.
Yeah, and because it's our birthday month, we do every year a little, like, you know, NPR-style inspired campaign. A lot of you all will probably know that we have a membership program. If you are a member, you get an extra segment, and we usually bring, like, a couple of extra songs and, like, some sort of fun discussion to the extra segment, in addition to some other stuff every once in a while. But we have a bunch of different ways to become a member. You can do like a sliding scale, either $5, $10, or $15 a month. And if like a monthly thing isn't a thing that you feel like you can sustain, you can also help us out a ton by just like giving us a one-time donation to our Venmo.
Yes, and we also have a PayPal link if that works better for you, and all that info is in the show notes. And then as a little incentive for this birthday month, we are doing a free merch item. So anybody who becomes a member in March and anybody who donates $20 or more to us will get a free merch item of their choice. So we've got Team Feelings pins, we have Frikitona pins, we have Perreo keychains, we have Evie Queen stickers, speaking of La Quemanda, we have... ¿Qué más? Oh, we have posters that say menos violencia, más perreo. So you get to pick what you like, and I will send you an email and you will let me know, and then we'll send it to you for free. So it's a good time to join or to give us a gift if you can. We know there's a lot of competing sort of $5 a month things these days, but we really appreciate the support, and it helps us pay for the show so that we don't have to pay for it basically out of pocket. We don't really pay ourselves, but we do pay My Theta Edit, and we do pay for our hosting and all that. And so that's directly where this membership money goes. So we would love to keep the show going and without a paywall, and that's what allows us to do it. So thank you for considering becoming a member. And also, you don't have to listen to ads like this if you're a member. Mm-hmm. You get an ad-free feed with that member segment on every episode.
Happy birthday to us.
AA.
All right. What do you have next for us?
I feel like there's some gender fuckery happening later on, but I feel like that one really set the bar. I'm like, damn, that was like the perfect song for this episode. I'm really like, okay, I don't know that I can follow that. But this is still a Mujer Que Manda for sure. So let's take a listen to Dicen Que Soy by La India.
soy. La maldición de tu vida, obsesión que te domina, destructora de tu honor. Dicen que soy gata negra y mala suerte, que ha secuestrado tu mente y devoré tu razón.
Such a good one.
I actually found a note from when you brought La India a few years ago that, like, this is a favorite of yours, this song.
I love this one because it's like, you know, people can say all sorts of shit, but, like, it is what it is. Like, she does not give a fuck. And, like, my God, La India's voice, like, there's just nothing like it.
I know. So, yeah, and I feel like some women musicians, it's just their voice that screams La Quemanda, and I feel like that's it with her. Like, it doesn't even really matter what she's saying. It's just like, she's just a boss, you know? Like, it's just, wow. Like, she's just got the power and the sort of authority in her voice. So I would agree with you for sure. And of course, she does like to write, like, fuck you men songs, which for me just adds another check on the La Quemanda
so good.
Box. Yes.
The thing that I love about this one, and I feel like is, like, so La Quemanda about this, is that, like, if you are, like, a mujer quemanda, like, people will be talking shit for sure. So this is, like, a little bit on that tip, you know? It's like, dicen que soy esto, dicen que soy lo otro, but, like, what? Who cares, you know? Like, so I feel like it's right on the money.
I would agree with you. Yeah. Yeah, it's really important to not care what people think of you because, yeah, you're going to get all sorts of negative attention for being a woman with authority and, like, woman who's in her power because misogyny, you know, people don't like it.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, you probably know Mi Mayor Venganza is, like, I think one of her biggest hits that has that energy. And then also Ese Hombre is another amazing one, I think both of which we brought to the show before. And if somehow you have not heard of her, you've been living under a rock, it's your first time listening to our show, she's a Puerto Rican singer, and her biggest hit is probably Vivid Lo Nuestro with Marc Anthony, which is a beautiful song and really showcases the two of them and their incredible voices. She also describes herself as a feminist.
Ooh, hey. I didn't know that La India owned that. I mean,
according to Wikipedia,
songs surely are.
Yeah, I mean, they're so feminist. Yeah, according to Wikipedia, she identifies as a feminist, so we believe Wikipedia.
Love that.
I love that, though. Yeah, it just makes me like her more. All right, what's next from you?
I have a little bit more queer funsies. This is called Club Sexy Cool by Ana Macho and Bellos Públicos.
Cool, voy de camino pa'l club,
Yeah, I like Ana Macho a lot, and they have a new album out right now. It's called Radio Sunshine. It came out March 1st, so if you like this, check it out. But Ana Macho is like very sweet and adorable, and like just like a non-binary pop star from Puerto Rico. And I came across them through a collab they did with Villano Antillano a while back called Muñeca. And so they've been on my radar ever since. And yeah, I feel like this is just a little bit of non-binary viewpoint, mandadera. It's like sort of like about going out and feeling cute. And I really liked the line, yo tengo mi comando y si no me siento perra de mi casa no salgo. So it felt like very like not mandando over anyone specifically, but like over their own lives, you know, over their own life. And I feel like that's like such a dope thing to see coming from like a super visibly queer, non-binary Puerto Rican. And I wasn't familiar with Bellos Públicos before this, but I feel like it's instant love, both because they're like a Puerto Rican dance duo who are like in love with synths and are dope, but also like their name made me like guffaw like out loud. It's hilarious. And if you are not a Spanish speaker, their name is Bellos Públicos. And which is obviously a play on bellos públicos. Bellos with a small V is hairs, and públicos is like pubic, so it's like pubic hair, but they are bellos públicos. It's fucking hilarious.
I didn't get that reference.
it made me laugh.
Wow. I thought of like bellas artes. I just like my brain went a different direction. That's good.
Very good.
Yeah, I do feel like La Que Manda can be gender whatever, you know? Like, obviously, it's a gendered phrase, but I don't think it has to be, like, a cis woman by any means.
Yeah, yeah. And Ana Macho is non-binary, but definitely femme on the spectrum. Right. So yeah. I thought it would count on here.
Yeah, no, and I think anybody, you know, I feel like in the drag world and, like, in some of the, like, queer men scene, like, there's a lot of fluidity with, like, language that's like more feminine, and I think that's the energy,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so this has a very like chill vibe to it.
I know, right? It's so like, it's sort of like a very, it's also a little housey, but very much like slower, like you know, like, and wrapping up the evening, like I really like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of gender fuckery, my next pick is, it's called Fuetazo, and it's by Villano Antillano and Isabella Love Story. Let's take a listen. Fuetazo. Fuetazo. Fuetazo va, fuetazo viene, a ella nada la detiene. Fuetazo va, fuetazo viene, a ella nada la detiene. Fuetazo va, fuetazo viene, a ella nada la detiene. Hey,
boqui sucia, lacia peli negra con astucia. Los paquetes de pelo los mando a pedir a Rusia. Y aquí de 42 pulgadas y rubia. Estoy de vacaciones con mi macho por Asturias. A él le gusta que me llegue hasta las nalgas. Ver lo que rebote por encima de la falda. Ese macho es grande, mal de pose a mí me carga. Me pongo sumisa para sacarle el lado alfa. Fuetazo, putazo, yo quiero un cantazo. Me gustan los novillos para tirarle el lazo. Cuando lo caso, colmillos de plazo. Bebo de su sangre y de bordo lo paso. Boqui sucia.
Yo quiero un cantazo, cuando lo caso, conmigo de plazo. Con mi tacón, rapidito lo aplasto. Boquita sucia, te doy un fuetazo. Muñequita luciendo todo lo gasto. No te metas conmigo si tú no me lo estás metiendo. Puta vampírica, somos la jefa.
All right, this is fun.
Yeah, right? I thought of Viana when I was thinking about, like, Mujeres que, like, La Que Manda, right? For this episode, I was definitely Villana.
La Villana has the energy.
And I was going to ask you, because you've actually spent time with her in person. So I was like,
Yeah,
it translates. Okay, cool.
It translates. She has the sauce.
Yeah, and I don't know Isabella Love Story personally, obviously. I don't know most of these people personally, but I'm pretty new to her work. But I felt like the song and the video felt like La Que Manda vibes to me.
Yeah, I actually I profiled Isabella Love Story for Crack Magazine a year or two ago. I don't remember now when. I think that she was like an interesting character to me. I feel like I didn't really connect that much with I feel like her characters were super fun and she was like really like creative and interesting, but I just didn't really connect with like the actual her sound, you know, the production. And I don't know, this is gonna sound like really really shady, but like I remember when I was interviewing her, she was like talking about her producer that she always works with called Chicken. Is the name of her producer. And she's like, yeah, like, you know, we just met on the internet and he was like, you know, like producing from like a bedroom and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, girl, it sounds like it. But like, you know, this maybe he's improved. Like this Chicken is on the production credits here. There's also a couple of other people, Camixlo and Dinamarca on here. So I don't know what he sounds like on his own these days, but this sounds good to me.
You like it? I was wondering. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
You like it. Okay, I don't know if you got to this point. Well, first of all, yeah, Isabella Love Story, Nicaraguan, based in Canada. First album came out in 2022. And Biana is Puerto Rican and has been doing the thing for a minute. I don't know if you got to this point in the music video of it, but there's like a mermaid thing going on.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
I know, you love mermaids. I think we've talked about that on the show.
I think
mermaids are incredible. Also, there is like a mermaid. I feel like there's a mermaid motif among trans folks for some trans women.
Oh, I've heard this.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a piece of the puzzle, but I think mermaids are interesting. And I love like weird subcultures, and there's definitely like a weird, interesting like mermaid subculture of people who like pretend to be mermaids. Have you been to WikiWatchy?
No, but I have considered going to WikiWatchy.
I really want to. I wish it was closer to Miami. I feel like I would have gone by now. It's a place in Florida that is like a natural spring that used to be used for military purposes, they think. And then they turned it into this like mermaid exhibit where like people like cosplay mermaids and are like swimming underwater, and it just has this like really fascinating history that I learned about in a mermaid documentary. And I would love to go there. It still exists, it's still run. And then there's some other like mermaid type exhibit places that I've tried to open up as sort of like competitors to WikiWatchy Springs, because apparently it's like there's some complicated things about working there. It's like run by the state, you know, who knows what it's like.
It's so extremely Florida though, that having that mermaid park situation there.
And just like the skill sets involved in doing that kind of work, like the swimming, the breath holding, the like acting.
They have these like mangueras, these like things that they
tubes.
Take breaths out of.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but tubes. Even like learning how to do that without choking on water, you know, like that's a skill set too. So yeah, it's just like the whole thing is kind of amazing. And have you seen the documentary I'm talking about?
I don't think I have seen the documentary, no.
It's just about there's like, they feature one woman who runs like a mermaid business where like they do mermaid exhibits at or shows at Ren Fairs. Like some Ren Fairs will have mermaid tanks and stuff. And so, yeah, it's like this
interesting
sort of competitive, like getting into be part
of her. Renaissance fairs are such a weird scene, man.
I've never been. Have you ever been?
Oh, yeah. There's a really, really big one in Minnesota, and it's like a big summer event.
Wow.
If you live in like around the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
So I went
like every year, like when I was in, you know, middle school and high school, because my family went, you know.
Oh, your family would go. Wow. Talk about an interesting subculture.
it's like a family event, you know. It's like going to like
the fair,
like Six Flags or something, you know. It's like a thing that you know, like you go, you like look at like the weird things that they sell, and you watch a weird show and you eat a turkey leg.
Right. Oh, fascinating. You know. I only really know it from like the sort of queer subculture place, you know? Like there's like Renfair gays. I feel like, yeah, there's like Renfair gays. Like that's like a particular subculture within,
I have
like,
not
the queer community.
Come across the Renfair gays because I think that it's like extremely not my scene.
It's so not your scene. Yeah.
Pretty white. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely some whiteness for sure. My college had like a group called the Swarthmore Warders of Imaginative Literature, known as SWIL. God. And that was kind of like the similar, they weren't all queer, but similar sort of subculture of like Dungeons and Dragons, Renfair, you know,
yeah,
like there's
I
like
feel
a
like
thing.
One thing about me is that I have like a persistent bias against like fantasy. Like
yeah.
Anything that has to do with medieval Europe, anything that has to do with dragons, anything that has to do with wizards, like I'm just like immediately now.
Right.
Although I did force myself to watch Game of Thrones, but like that's because A, I had a partner who was watching it and I was like, okay, fine, I'll watch it with you. But it was B, very hard to get over.
Yeah,
and
no,
I just have like a hard time understanding how like we as a society glorify a time in history when like Europe had a great regression and they like forgot that they shouldn't be drinking their own poop water or something because they forgot to teach people how to read.
Well, and like impaling was like a common practice, you know?
Like, yeah, it's just
people
like
just
a
got
nasty time.
All
it's
of the
a
time.
Nasty time. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the like white people are so obsessed with this time. It's just
medieval
like
times.
If you just go like a few hundred years before to like the Roman Empire, like yeah, they did some dope shit, but like medieval times, like why are we talking about this, weirdos?
I don't know. People are interested in everything. I agree with you. I'm not into fantasy. I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but I will say fantasy can be a lot more than the medieval times, right? Like it's a genre that
yes.
can be much broader. I'm not a fantasy reader, but lots and lots and lots of people are. And it's much broader than, yeah, than that.
Yeah, and there's like, you know, in the same way, like I like science fiction, which is like,
you
know, also like I feel like often people like sci-fi and fantasy like coexist.
Yeah.
But I'm like pro sci-fi, anti fantasy because I don't know, my own stupid shit.
But you probably haven't read the right fantasy. I'm sure there's something you'd be into.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that, like, the cool thing that I like about science fiction that I think is also true about fantasy is that it's, like, about just imagining, like, the realities of our world aren't your confines, you know? Like, mm-hmm. So there's a lot of room for, like, making up dope stuff. So
yeah.
I'm sure that it has this, like, a lot of potential for not just queer storytelling, but, you know,
yeah.
all sorts of other ways of imagining the world.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I know more about fantasy because, well, I guess I haven't said this on the podcast. I've said it in the newsletter, but I have a young adult fiction novel coming out in 2025. Woohoo!
Ooh.
I got a publisher. And it's contemporary YA. And so a big genre in YA is fantasy. And actually, like right now, fantasy is like way more popular in like the publishing scene than contemporary, like realistic fiction. So like that made it difficult to find a publisher, but like the publisher who bought my book was like, I think there's always going to be a market for this, and like I don't really care about the trends, you know? So
yeah, I did listen to a podcast about how there is like this, like people are obsessed with this one fantasy YA like erotic, I don't know, novelist or whatever, I don't remember their name because I didn't look it up because it didn't seem like my thing, but it was
YA,
very interesting to hear
YA,
about.
But erotica?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, there's usually
I thought
like,
it was YA. Maybe not. I
yeah,
don't know.
Usually YA, like, there's there can be some sexualness, but it's not erotica usually. It's not like, I mean, unless it's not being published by the mainstream, then you can do whatever you want. But usually.
Maybe
but,
it's not YA. Maybe it's just, but it was fantasy and it was.
Yeah, no, fantasy is very popular and there are
who
really.
Knew?
I mean, there's really successful YA trilogies and stuff in fantasy. So, yeah, there's just, like, a lot of people. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for it because you have to build a whole world. Like, I'm just using the world I live in. You have to build your own world. Which is incredible. And so
it's,
I have a lot of respect for it. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for it. But, yeah, it's not my bag for sure. Wow, that was a real incredible detour from mermaids. All right, so you're pro mermaid but anti dragon. I see where you are in the
spectrum. Yeah. I have these are my lines of demarcation. I am going to the mermaid parade in Coney Island this year. I won't be going to any Renaissance fairs.
Okay. I just want to go out of curiosity because I've never been to one, but yeah, it's not my scene, but I would like to. It's also very expensive, which I find a little bit like annoying, the tickets, but I would go out of curiosity, but yeah, it's not my bag.
Yeah.
And I would say if you wanted, the reason I know about Ren Faire queers is some workplaces I've been a part of, and then also Field, the dating app that I don't know if you've ever been on. That's like a newer one.
I have been on it. Yeah.
You have been on it. I don't know. I had a friend who was like, there's a lot of Ren Faire queers on here. And I was like, I could see that.
Yeah. I don't know that I found that exactly, but like, I was like, this app is unbearably white.
It is. So. There's a lot of white people, but as with everything, honestly, like, I mean, not everything, but a lot of the dating apps, that tends to be the case. I don't know. I deleted them all recently, so I have no idea what's going on, and I feel great about that.
That's great.
All right. What's your last song for the main episode?
My last song for the main episode is by an OG boss bitch. This is Que Te Vaya Bonito by Chavela Vargas.
Ojalá que te vaya bonito. Ojalá que se acaben tus penas, que te digan que yo ya no existo, que conozcas personas más buenas, que te dé lo que no pude darte, aunque yo te haya dado de todo. Nunca más volveré a molestarte. Te adoré, te perdí y ya ni modo. Cuántas cosas quedaron prendidas hasta dentro del fondo de mi alma. Cuántas luces dejaste encendidas. Yo no sé.
So I wanted to bring a song by an older artist just to, like, you know, bristle a little against the idea that I feel like sometimes people paint women's resistance in something that's like newfangled or like Las Mujeres de Ahora or whatever. So I just wanted to like make a little bit of a point that that's not true. We've brought Chavela a number of times, so if you are a listener, you will know that already. Yeah, I just brought her as an example, one of many examples of like mujeres que mandaron like mad long ago. And I mean, I also think que te vaya bonito is like as an attitude for an ex-lover is such a boss lady attitude, you know, like I feel like it's such a great attitude. I feel like, you know, revenge is so ugly. And also to me, the worst thing about it is that it's like a symptom. It betrays like that it's like somebody else is still consuming your mind. So to me, that's so embarrassing. So
no,
like, I love like a que te vaya bonito ass bitch, you know?
It feels a little tender though when you think about what we know of her relationship history is that she was a pretty toxic partner at times, like pretty abusive. And this is like the documentary about her life. So that brings another layer of like, I mean, you should definitely, especially if you were shitty to someone, take the high road and be like, I wish you the best, you know? But it does add another, and you know, the sadness in her voice, you know, I think she really like sabotaged some of her, the people she loved, the women she loved, because she was so difficult with her alcoholism and everything else.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the sadness and the emotion in her voice is one that she earned, for sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She went through it.
Yeah. She really went through it. Lots of addiction issues, you know. And I mean, like, but also, like, how much of a boss-ass bitch do you have to be, like, practically out in Latin America, like, in the early 20th century?
Yeah, and gender non-conforming.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't, like, out, like, saying I am a lesbian until she was 80, but, like, basically in all ways except for saying it out loud, our girl was, like, viviendo su vida, you know what I mean? Like, having affairs with Frida Kahlo, like, you know, betting women left and right, like, she was
doing what she wanted to do. No se pregunta. You know, she was wearing suits.
Yeah.
She was wearing suits. Like, that vibe. She was not trying to hide it. She had short hair. She was wearing suits. She did like a man's, she was in a man's world in many ways and the sort of singing and stuff. So, yeah, it's just
Most like Western or American version of being like out. She wasn't out, but like, you know.
Right. Yeah. And she took it a lot. Like, Juanga, for example, we never knew anything about his like personal life, like about lovers or whatever. Like, he was very quiet about that. So, it was like another level of like maybe closetedness where she was like, didn't hide that. She just wasn't like, you know, waving a lesbian flag around.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a beautiful song. And you know, it's funny, when I was doing this, I was like, I wanted to make sure I brought some younger people because the people I thought of were like some of these like older women divas, you know? Mm. I mean, La India is not that old. She's in her 50s, but yeah, who have I brought so far? La India. And then, you know, Evie Queen is also probably in her 50s, maybe.
Yeah. That's some of my guess.
And then the person I have in the member segment is also an older woman. So we had sort of opposite orientations to it. That I was like, I want to make sure that I bring some younger women who also have this energy.
Love. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening to all these badass mujeres and nine binary cuties.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's hear it for the fem tops out there, you know?
Hey.
Hope you enjoy this. All the songs and videos are in our show notes at RileyMania.com, as well as information about donating or becoming a member. We so appreciate your support. Thanks to Maite for editing.
Yeah, and make sure to follow us on Instagram. Sign up for our newsletter. There's always cute stuff in there. And hasta la próxima.
Bye.
Sudar y pegarte a mí, el cuerpo a rozar. Yo te digo, sí, tú me puedes provocar. Eso no quiere decir que pa' la cama voy.